And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, Ye men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, saith God, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And I will pour out upon my servants and my handmaidens in those days, and I will show wonders in heaven above and in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing his Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of all the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of the habitation that they should seek the Lord. If haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by man and arts in man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a risen Savior today. He's in the world. I know. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God is here. If you haven't felt Him yet, you will before you leave. He's here to bless, to encourage, to save, to reclaim those that have drifted away. He's waiting for you with open arms. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. And what a wonderful thing to celebrate our 69th anniversary together. Pastor asked me a moment ago, how many anniversary messages have you preached? I said, just 64. Before long, Pastor, I'm going to have to get some messages of sermon outlines from you or Dr. Weaver, somebody. I'm about to give out. But at 90, you can understand that. But I'm not going to give up. I'm going to look up. I know Jesus is coming soon. Well, I've used enough runway. Let's get airborne. What do you say? Open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. As you're finding your place in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, I would remind you that Paul wrote this about 64 A.D. while he was a prisoner in Rome. Perhaps his first of the prison epistles. I'm going to read for you two verses, the last two verses of chapter 3 of Ephesians. Before I read, would you join with me in prayer, please? Oh, Heavenly Father, we are eternally grateful for these 69 years that you've smiled upon the minister of this church from day one till this day. Thank you for every soul that's been saved, every home that's been salvaged, every person whose life has been turned around, all that you have done. They just sang about it, and how we love to sing about your glory and your praise. Have the recording angel to write in the books of heaven on our part today that we love thee and honor thee and adore thee and worship thee. We ascribe to Jesus Christ all power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. For He alone is worthy. I'm going to read in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Ephesians 3 at verse number 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So may it be. My friends, God puts a great premium on the church, and so should we. And so we do. The church is Christ's own body. And hear me when I tell you, He paid an extravagant price for it. His own blood. What does the Bible say? Let me give you Paul's commentary from Acts 20 and verse 28. As he spoke to the Ephesian elders, he said to them, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Please don't miss this, which He hath purchased with His own blood. You have been purchased with a price if you've been saved. If you haven't been saved, the angel is waiting to inscribe your name in the book of life, and nothing can erase it. So much now at that point. I want us to take a trip down memory lane for a few moments. And by the way, don't be in a hurry to get out of here. We got your lunch prepared over there. You don't have to go home and warm up that stuff you couldn't eat yesterday and try it again today. So just sit back and relax. I learned a long time ago that a sermon does not have to be eternal to be immortal. For 25 years, I taught my students in colleges and seminaries, if you can't strike oil in 30 minutes, stop boring. I left the door open. For some of us old fogies, it may take a little longer. I'm of the persuasion that if we forget the rock from which we were hewn and the place from whence we came, we will not know where we are when we get where we're going. So let's remember. 69 years, a meager beginning to where we are today, a militant army marching toward eternity under the banner of the cross. Now, the pastor mentioned this a while ago, but some of you didn't hear it probably. You weren't listening. On the first Sunday of March in 1954, that small group of people met in the living room of my brother, Bob Barber Jr., to organize what is now the Worth Baptist Church. Bob served his generation well. He not only founded this church, but he's pastored it for 7 years. Bob was a one-of-a-kind preacher. You could not duplicate his delivery, no matter how you tried. God blessed him. He made many personal sacrifices in those days to see to it that the church moved forward, never standing still. He laid a sure foundation for us to build upon. In the early days, the church met in a rented storefront building on Wichita Street. It wasn't long before the Lord opened the door for the church to purchase a vacant frame church building on Wilbarger Street. During the next 4 years, mark these, from 1954 to 1958, the church experienced notable growth numerically as well as financially. In 1958, God made it possible for the church to build a brick sanctuary. The men of the church, Pat, you'll remember this, Pat Roberts, our first secretary. I followed her as secretary, and I'm still getting ink from under my fingernails running that old mimeograph machine. In December, 3 years later, but first let me go back for a minute. The men did a lot of work. Most of those men are in heaven now. My assignment was to nail shingles on the roof. Well, I'd never had a shingle in my hand, to say nothing of working on a roof. But God, here I am. In 1961, December of that year, Bob resigned to become pastor of the Baptist Tabernacle in Danville, Virginia, where he succeeded our father, who went on to be with the Lord in November of 1961. Then on the last Sunday of December 1961, I candidated for the pastorate of the church. I remember my message. God is looking for a man. Early the following week, the pulpit committee extended a call to me. They thought God had found his man. Ladies and gentlemen, they thought I was J. Frank Norris, Billy Sunday, and Dwight L. Moody rolled into one. But it didn't take them long to know that their assessment of me was greatly exaggerated. I was 29 years old, no pastoral experience. At the time, I was professor and dean of the Bible Baptist Seminary in Arlington. Some of you are graduates of that school. The seminary was founded by Dr. J. Frank Norris and Dr. Louis Enswinger in 1939. From the founding in 1939, it remained in the facilities of the First Baptist Church in downtown Fort Worth until the death of Dr. Norris in 1952. History proves that I accepted the call and was installed as pastor on the second Sunday of January, 1962. On January the 8th of this year was the marking of my 64th year in some capacity, beginning with a custodian. You custodians, don't give up. You may be pastor someday, I doubt, but you may be pastor someday. Then I became secretary, as I mentioned a while ago, assistant pastor, and then finally pastor. And pastor for 35 years, and pastor emeritus, I believe, for 29 years now. During the years 1962 to 1976, the church experienced extensive growth. We were able to purchase on the house on either side of us and behind us for Sunday school classrooms. During that time, we built a 10,000 square foot Sunday school building attached to the sanctuary. I was in Dallas. I couldn't get anybody in Fort Worth to loan us $100,000 to build that building. So I heard about a man in Dallas, so I went to see him. And on that day, the day that I was in Dallas, seeking a loan to build that Sunday school building, President Kennedy was assassinated. That was a sad day for our nation. It was a glad day for our church because the man said, yes, just sign right here. He'd never seen me before, but I have such a good-looking face. If you got it, flaunt it. Now, before we built the Sunday school building, in the winter, we had to light space heaters. I lit 25 space heaters throughout those buildings. In the summer, it was the water cooler, commonly called the swamp box. And I had to turn those on every Sunday in the summer. But I learned from doing tasks like that. By the way, anybody that's too good to do any kind of task for God, he's too good. 1976, the church purchased these 14 acres that we're on now for $165,000. We began construction on this building in 1976, and we completed it in 1977 at the cost of more than $1 million. That was a lot of money in those days. That's a lot of money now. But God enabled us to pay off the indebtedness early. So we had a victorious note-burning ceremony. What a wonderful day that was. During the mid-80s, we built the Family Life Center at a cost of $565,000. And we paid as we built. So when we completed it, it was debt-free. Thank God. No more notes to pay off. Well, God continued to bless and increase the church numerically and financially. We praise God for our emphasis on missions. We gave 35% of all of our undesignated offerings. Our record year was about $250,000. Now, upon my retirement, I preached my last sermon as pastor on Sunday, April 6, 1997. I entitled it, Glorying in the Cross. And that's what we're still doing. On the same day, Dr. Weaver became pastor and served faithfully for almost 19 years. Under his ministry, the church grew and souls were saved and baptized and added. During his time as pastor, he started several new ministries, including the Reformers Unanimous, which is now the Bridge to Recovery. And what a blessing that church has, that ministry has been to our church. I couldn't describe it. I look in the faces this morning. I think of one man in particular. He left the church when he was 16 years old. Victor Gray. God bless you, Victor. 50 years later, after going to the depths of sin, he came back. So you parents that have runaways and prodigals, keep the porch light on. The prodigal is coming home. Dr. Weaver continued a strong mission emphasis, conducting yearly mission conferences. And in his ministry, the church underwent an extensive remodeling program at the cost of more than $1 million. Dr. Weaver now serves as pastoral evangelist. Upon Dr. Weaver's retirement, the church made a wise decision to call a young, talented, Bible-teaching, gospel-preaching Tyler Gillett as our new pastor. I salute you, Pastor. Come up here. I never thought I'd have to look up to my pastor, a young man, handsome, but humble, a servant of God. God bless you. I love you.
I love you, Dr. Bob.
Well, the rest is a matter of record. God has blessed Pastor Gillett's ministry in the most remarkable way. I'm sure you will agree with me that he had a lot of courage to follow three seasoned pastors to become pastor of this church. And in his own right now, and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he's doing a yeoman's job. The glowing report that was given at the stewardship banquet reflects the spiritual, numerical, and financial health of our dear church under his pastorate. But ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come. The church is united in our desire to reach new heights for Christ and to plant new churches. Well, that's my introduction, and I'm ready to start preaching. Just sit back and relax. On this historic day, I've entitled the message, What is Right with Worth Baptist Church? By the way, if you want to know what's wrong with it, ask somebody that hasn't been here in 5 years. They can tell you. I submit to you in the first place that Worth Baptist Church is right because it has the right foundation, Jesus Christ. I love the way Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 3:11. Other foundation can no man lay than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus himself removed any doubt of the foundation when he said in Matthew 6, by the way, I'm going to quote Jesus. Now you know I love to quote Jesus. Greatest authority the world has ever known. He said, And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, the pebble, the small stone. And upon this rock, another word in the original language, which means a huge slab, a big stone. Upon this rock, a reference to himself, Jesus said, I will build my church. He didn't say, I'll build your church. He didn't say, you will build my church. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock. The hymn writer put it this way, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by Spirit and the Word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest organism on earth is the church that Jesus built. And 69 years that Worth Baptist Church has been an extension of the church that Jesus built 2,000 years ago. And it ranks above school government, business, industry, and all other enterprises in this world. The church is a visible body of baptized believers. Now, we don't believe in an invisible church. I remember Dr. Insomnia when I was a student at the seminary more than 7 decades ago. Young men, if you go out and preach an invisible church, you'll have one. And some of them did, and they do. It's a visible, I look out over this, I don't see one single invisible person. Now, some of you wish you could get invisible right away, but you're visible. You're seen. That's the church. It's the visible body, a called out assembly whose exalted head is Jesus Christ, who has passed into the heavens and is at the right hand of his Father, making intercession for us even as I speak. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all in the book. And God wrote the book. Jesus is the architect who drew the design of the church. He is the artist who painted the beautiful colors of the church. He's the arranger who placed you and me in the church. He's the administrator who heads the ministries of the church. Please don't miss this. He's the arbitrator who brought holy God and sinful man in a divine act of reconciliation. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling himself, reconciling the world unto himself. This act of reconciliation was formulated by Jesus' sacrificial death at the cross. Another hymn writer said, lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. That brings me to my second thought. I just have 33, so sit back. Second thought, Worth Baptist Church is right because it has the right textbook. The Bible. God's holy word. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, and precious, and perfect, and pure, and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. Listen to what Paul said about it in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, that you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Sadly enough, many religious organizations and institutions and churches have relegated the Bible to a second place in their program. Some of them have taken it out almost altogether. You could go into a lot of churches today and take out all the Bibles, they'd never miss them. Thank God we're a Bible church. My plea is, bring back the Bible, O ye sons of men. Bring back the Bible and begin again. Bring back the Bible, shout it far and wide. Bring back the Bible and wait for the tide. Bring back the Bible, let it be heard. Bring back the Bible, God's holy word. The Bible was written by God, interpreted by the Holy Spirit, and having as its subject matter Jesus Christ. His image is stamped on every page. Open the Bible, find him there. Open the Bible, don't despair. Open the Bible, see his face. Open the Bible, trust his grace. Open the Bible, look clearly above. Open the Bible and share God's love. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. I love the Bible. I really do. I love the Bible. How about you? I love the Bible. I read it each day. I love the Bible. It guides my way. I love the Bible hidden in my heart. I love the Bible, and we shall never part. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is not in the experimental stage. It has been tried and proven. It is not the book of the week or the book of the month or the book of the year or the book of the decade or the book of the century or the book of the millennium. It's the book of the ages. Old as time, new as tomorrow. The psalmist said, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Job said, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. The psalmist said, oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. The psalmist said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The psalmist said, my eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The psalmist said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. The psalmist said, oh, how sweet are thy words to my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The Bible says, written by the psalmist, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The psalmist said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Jesus said, here I go quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. He said, the scriptures cannot be broken. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. By the way, a wise man once said, I don't remember who it was. It may have been me. A Bible in the hand is worth a dozen in the trunk. Remember this. When all of the books have become obsolete, the Bible remains absolute. And that brings me to my third and final point. Worth Baptist Church is right because it has the right message. Ladies and gentlemen, our message is not philosophy, a psychology, a biology, a sociology, or Scientology, or any other ology. Our message is the gospel of blood redemption. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Bible says, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The Bible says, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, to him be glory and honor forever and ever. The Bible says, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. William Cooper wrote, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. There may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Please don't miss this. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, though we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached, let him be accursed. Paul was so certain of that, he repeated the same thing in the next verse. Somebody said, well, that preacher just repeated himself. Well, Paul repeated himself too. Some of you don't get it on the first time. You don't. Dr. Norris used to say, if your mother and daddy didn't give it to you, don't expect us to. The keynote of our message is salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ at the cross. The songwriter said, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. 'Tis enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My friend, listen to me. It was at the cross that Jesus paid your sin debt, a debt that you could not pay. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's all in the book, and you know who wrote the book. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What else did Jesus say? Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What did God say? God said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What else did God say? God said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come. Buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. There's honey in the rock, my friend, for you. There's honey in the rock. The gospel we preach is full, is free, is forgiven. I'm reminded, again, when I was a student, Dr. Inschminger taught us a little course. It's been sung in every chapel service since 1939. We sing it in all of our chapel services at the Norris Seminary. Here's some men that lead. There are about three men that can lead that song. Yours truly, Gerald Fleming, and Louis Inschminger. And three of them in heaven. And one's on his way. Here goes that little chorus. I'm not going to lead it. I'm just going to say it. I'm glad salvation's free. I'm glad salvation's free. Salvation's free for you and me. I'm glad salvation's free. Now then, I was taught, by the way, I dismissed a lot of that stuff I was taught when I was going to a liberal school. You didn't know I went to a liberal school right here in Fort Worth. It wasn't Southwestern, by the way. They never said, don't ever say to a congregation, in conclusion, they're glad to hear that word. But I do have a very powerful, personal question that I would ask you. What will it take to bring you to God? It took blindness, physical torture, and a jail sentence to bring Samson, the world's strongest man, to God, what will it take to bring you to God? It took a hog pen, hunger and humiliation, and all the money he had to bring the prodigal son to God. What will it take to bring you to God? It took the death of his baby to bring King David back to God. What will it take to bring you to God? Why don't you just decide now? The Bible speaks in terms of now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Come to this altar. Meet God and tell God that you need him. That's all he wants to hear. Just tell him that you need him. He'll take up the rest. Come to the cross today. Come to Calvary. Come to Christ. Please don't wait until circumstances in your life drive you to God. Come while you have the choice. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. May we stand together, please. Everyone standing, heads are bowed. Please, every head bowed. Nobody's looking around. By the way, the altar's open. The invitation has already begun. Your heads are bowed. Please listen. I wonder how many of you would say, and by the way, let me tell you right up front, we're not asking you to join anything, buy anything, give anything, pledge anything, say anything. We're just asking you to tell God that you need him. Remember, you may come just as you are. How many of you would say by a lifted hand, we're not going to embarrass you, we're not going to call you out, we've got no name you. Many of you, we don't know your name. With heads bowed now, how many of you would say, preacher, God has spoken to me from his word today. Would you put your hand up if that's in your... Put it up real high. God bless you. God, oh, there's scores of them. Scores. Now put them down. Now what I want you to do, listen carefully. I want you, if you lifted your hand, to just step out of your seat. Come to the front. If you need assistance, there'll be somebody to give you the assistance. Just step out of it. Don't wait on somebody else to come. Somebody else may not come. You just step out and come. That's right, come on. Wherever you are, from way out yonder somewhere, come on, come on, that's right. God's speaking to your heart, just come on today. Come on, come on, come on. Remember this. You may come just as you are.